you very much for chanting like angels. The sacred sound of the holy name is a transcendental touchstone which changes our lives, and therefore this is really what we are meant to do somehow or other, hearing and chanting. In this regard, we can remember a story from Srimad Bhagavatam. And this story in Srimad Bhagavatam is describing how when Lord Vamanadev came in the form of a small Brahmana boy to Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj had conquered the entire universe. And this boy comes and the boy says, "I've come to beg some charity. Ah, you are such a nice Brahmin boy, dressed in deer skin with a straw belt, and you have a parasol as well. Ah, so nice, a real brahmachari. Ah, yes. So, my dear boy, what would you like?" Says, "Oh," says the boy, I want only 3 steps of land." "You don't know what to ask for. Why are you only asking for 3 steps of land? I could give you an entire planet. Huh? You ask for, you know, why 3 steps? But then, boy said, "No, I'm a brahmachari. A brahmachari only needs 3 steps to lie down. So what more do I need? I don't need anything. So, all right, take your 3 steps. So then, Lord Vamana started to take his steps. And as he was taking his steps, he was growing in size. And after 2 steps, he covered the entire universe. He had taken all the land. He cracked the shell of the universe, and a drop of water from the causal ocean entered into the universe, which was the Ganga. And then he said, "Where will I put my 3rd step? You promised me 3 steps. With 2 steps, I took all the land. Now, where do I put my 3rd step? Bali Maharaj said, "Put it on my head." But, you know, the Lord said, "You promised me 3 steps of land. Head is not land, you know." So he was not satisfied. So anyway, he arrested Bali Maharaj and so many things, and tied him up in a snake noose, and Bali Maharaj almost suffocated. But that is not the focus of our story this evening. The focus of our story is about the Ganges, the descent of the river Ganges. And when the Ganges came into the universe, Ganga, let's say Ganga, when Ganga came into the universe, Ganga was falling down with great force, downwards into the universe, so going past the heavenly planets. But the demigods, they had witnessed the whole thing. They were fully conscious of what was going on. They knew that a drop of the causal ocean had now entered into the universe, and they celebrated and they were jubilant. And they brought many pots, golden pots studded with jewels and so on, kumbhas. And in these kumbhas, they were catching the Ganga. They caught the Ganga and then carried the Ganga on their heads and brought the Ganga down. And then, as they came to the edge of the heavenly regions, they emptied those pots and threw the water down towards the middle planetary systems, and the water was coming down with great force towards planet Earth, and Lord Shiva was approached to save Earth because Ganga was coming with so much force. He took it on his head and it stayed in his hair and wouldn't come out, and then Maharaj Bhagirathi came and worshipped and so on, and Ganga followed him. And thus, Ganga is also sometimes known as Bhagirathi. But that is not our topic today. That is not the main theme of our story. The theme of our story is the demigods, they carried the Ganga in pots. And then they let the Ganga go. Then when Ganga came to planet Earth, there were many people, still many people today, who took their bath in the Ganga because they valued the potency of Ganga. the Kumbh Mela alone, in 1 month, 25 million people take their bath in the river Ganga. 25 million, that's like, you know, half the population of South Africa, practically speaking. Half the population of the country takes its bath in one river in 1 month, my God. That's serious. It's serious. It is. So, people on this planet, they certainly value the Ganga. And take their bath in the Ganga because they know there is mercy to get. But then the Ganga goes further down into the universe, this time in the form of the Bhogavati. And in the form of the Bhogavati, in the river by that name, the Ganga is reaching the lower planetary systems. And in the lower planetary systems, people have no idea, no idea what that river is. Some people by accident take some water from the river and get purified and get the benefit, but nobody otherwise knows that Ganga is auspicious and that Ganga will bring benefit and so on in these lower planets. So unknowingly, they're making spiritual advancement. So why are the demigods carrying the Ganga? That is the first question. The Ganga was falling down anyway. They're carrying, they catch the Ganga, carry it, and bring it down in the same direction it was going, and then in the end they throw it down. Why didn't they just let the Ganga go? No, no. They could see this Ganga is liquid mercy. It is liquid mercy of the Lord. And if we catch it, and if we carry it, then we get the greatest advantage of the mercy of the Lord. Because we become carriers of the mercy of the Lord. We become distributors of the mercy of the Lord. In this way, they were taking full advantage of the Ganga, actively partaking in distributing the mercy of Ganga and thus sharing in giving that mercy. When Ganga came to earth, people were bathing in the Ganga and they passively got the benefit, right, for themselves. So they got benefit. And in the lower planetary systems, people didn't even know, and some accidentally would fall in the water and get the mercy or, you know, whatever, right? Somehow or other, accidentally, they touched the water and got some benefit. So in this way, in the same way, the holy name. When the holy name is taken and actively distributed, when we catch the holy name, and actively pass it on to others, then we are getting the full benefit of the holy name. When we are taking the holy name and just taking it for ourselves, oh yes, we also get benefit of the chanting. And even when unknowingly people are touched by the holy name and they have no idea what it is, they still get the benefit of the name. So this is interesting. So in this spirit, we approach the chanting. We chant amongst ourselves in the temple to become absorbed in the chanting. And then one day in the matchless gift storefront, Srila Prabhupada, after chanting every day with the devotees, one day he took them out, out into the street. Out to chant in public, because after all, he took it one level up. He took it up to that level of become carriers of the holy name. So that's what I wanted to say about the chanting of the holy name. So in different ways, we can take advantage of the of this mercy that comes into our life in the form of the holy name. Today is, it is only a few days before Radhashtami, and somehow or other, Radhashtami is already in the air. It is already approaching. Why is that so? Well, partially because the devotees are looking forward to Radhashtami, undoubtedly. But that is not the only reason. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find a passage how Rata Yatra is approaching, and how Lord Jagannath is waiting very eagerly. In fact, he can't wait. God, when will it be Rata Yatra? And Lord Jagannath is eager to come out of his temple and to go on the chariot, because he wants to see the dancing of Lord Chaitanya. So it is interesting that here the Lord himself is very eager. It is exactly the same with Radhastami, because after all, this day is for Krishna the most important day in the year. It is for Krishna the day that means the most to him, because it is the day that belongs to Srimati Radharani, who is dear most to Krishna, and everything related to her is dear most to him. Therefore, Krishna is already waiting in anticipation. He can't wait for Radhastami to come. We see that it is mentioned in the scriptures that the months of Magha Shirsa is the month of Krishna. That month of Magha Shirsa is coming after the month of Kartik, because the month of Kartik is the month of Srimati Radharani. And naturally her month comes first, because Krishna puts her before himself. This is the spirit. The devotee. Krishna places the devotee before himself. That is Krishna. Sadavo ridhiya mayam sadanam ridhiyam traham madanyate na janati naham devya manak api. The devotee is more dear to Krishna than anything. He places the devotee before himself. Aradhanam sarvesam vishnur aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. Where it is said, Lord Shiva is speaking to Parvati, and he says, of all who are worshipable, Lord Vishnu is the most worshipable. But more worshipable still are my devotees. And therefore, it is said, mat bhakti puja bhyadika, we must worship my devotees. So this is how it is. And of all devotees, Srimati Radharani is the embodiment of perfect, pure devotional service, and thus the topmost devotee. And therefore, this time of Radhastami is the most important time in the year for Krishna. It is a good time for the devotee of Krishna, because it is a time when Krishna will be inclined to be compassionate, because Srimati Radharani is compassionate. She is the tender-hearted feminine counterpart of Krishna. Men are known as hard-hearted, isn't it? Everybody knows. Yes. What to do? When I was in the Grihastha ashram, sometimes I've been called, occasionally I've been referred to by my good wife as a cold frog. What can I say? That's man's nature, right? We are cold frogs by nature. What can we do? We have no heart, you know. So, Srimati Radharani, she is the compassionate counterpart of Krishna, and particularly inclined to bestow mercy. So, because that's her desire, It is naturally that Krishna, specifically on her appearance day, is fully focused on fulfilling her desire. We imitate that also.
You know, when it's your birthday, somebody's birthday, already start. When you were a kid, you can say what you're going to eat on that day. You can order the menu, you know. Usually as a kid, you know, you have to eat whatever you get, you know what I mean?
Oh, God.
I mean, certain preparations were on the horror list, right? I remember very well, you know. You're not getting up from the table until you've eaten this. And I'm not eating this. I usually won. What to do? But on your birthday, boy, you could get everything you wanted. All the perfection. Yeah? Birthdays were like that. So on birthdays, we try to please the person whose birthday it is and do something they like, give them something they like that. That all stems from the spiritual relationships, the relationships of the spiritual sky, because everything in this material world is a reflection, a perverted reflection of what is going on in the spiritual world. This is known as the principle of pratibimba. Pratibimba means reflection. So the spiritual world is whatever Srimati Radharani desires, that Krishna desires to fulfill. Therefore, this day, Radhastami, and I'm now in this talk only leading up to Radhastami, it's like a preliminary talk. So, this day of Radhastami is especially a day of compassion. It's compassion. Well, you know, then that day is for us. I mean, this is the day for the mercy cases. This is the day for the basket cases. This is the day for those who have learning difficulties. There are different yugas. And these different yugas can be compared to educational institutions. And the Satya Yuga is the topmost university where only very qualified students are admitted. At that time in the Satya Yuga, the population is very qualified, and many of these qualified personalities graduate and go back to the spiritual world. But those who are not so qualified, they have to go for a lower level, and they get the Treta Yuga. And at the end, some go back, and others don't. And those who are not so fortunate and not so qualified, they have to go to the Dwapara Yuga. But the ones that have learner difficulties, right? There's a special school for them, right? To somehow or other give them some training as well, you know? And that is Kali Yuga. So here we are. The ones who are not learning, even when you try to teach them, they don't get it. That's the age of Kali. So in the end, it's such a school, you need a lot of compassion. You need a lot of mercy. So anyway, you know what I mean, let them pass. And anyway, you know, I mean, you know, they'll never learn what can be done, you know. But as long as they try even a little bit, you know, okay, then we'll give them the mercy. So mercy, compassion, is a very important theme. And because this day of Radhastami is particularly dedicated to compassion and mercy, therefore this day is important to us. However, how to be eligible to attain that mercy? That is the next point. You know what I mean? There's mercy available, but how do you get it? And Yeah, there are different qualification required. First of all, purity. Purity is the foundation. Where there is no purity, it's difficult. So you must make an endeavor. So of course, for many of us, that means we got to make a new beginning. Yeah, something like the new year. So whereas many people on the 1st of January make all kinds of big promises, from this day on I will dot 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 fill in the blanks, but we don't do so on the 1st of the year. We do it especially on this day of Radhashtami, because this is the day dedicated to pure devotional service. This is the one day. It is our day. Janmashtami is everybody's day. Janmashtami is a public day. It is the day where we invite everyone. It is open house. Janmashtami. It is the biggest party of the year. Janmashtami, it's Krishna's birthday. Come and come and come and celebrate. Everyone comes. And in India, all kinds of people celebrate. Muslims celebrate Janmashtami. Anybody celebrates Janmashtami. And when you're Indian and you're somewhere, wherever you are, somehow or other, you got to celebrate Janmashtami. And why only Indian? When you're Dutch like me, you also have to celebrate Janmashtami. And when you're German like him, you know, you have to celebrate Janmashtami. Everyone has to celebrate Janmashtami. In Africa, they celebrate Janmashtami. In Brazil, they celebrate Janmashtami. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ramo, Hare Ramo, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Janmashtami must be celebrated by all. It's public. But Radhashtami is a little different. Radhashtami is more confidential. We can't tell the world about Radha and Krishna. How can they understand? We can't tell the world about pure devotional service. They have no idea. Therefore, Radhashtami is especially our festival. It is especially the time when we are actually meditating on topmost pure devotional service. That is Radhashtami. It is the time for us to pull our socks up, to get more serious about spiritual life. That's it. To say yes. Just as Srila Prabhupada sat down at night, it was 11 o'clock, to translate. And there was a devotee, a nice devotee, and Prabhupada said, oh, why, he was still up. Oh, you are still up. Why don't you come and sit next to me while I'm translating? That's a good invitation. The devotee said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, I've been up the whole day. I'm tired, it's 11 o'clock, I have to go to bed. Prabhupada said, I'm not going to bed, I'm staying up. And the devotee said, yes, but you are a pure devotee. Then, why are you not a pure devotee? This is Srila Prabhupada's question to all of us. Why are you not a pure devotee? It's not pure devotees are exceptions to the rule. Everybody is a neophyte, and that's normal. It's totally acceptable. There's nothing you can do. It's the way it is. We are weak. We are from Kali Yuga, after all. So, therefore, you cannot have high expectations of us. So, we have a great excuse. We don't have to be pure devotees. We can go to sleep. That song is the wrong song. No. Pure devotee for everyone. It is not that this movement is meant to be a movement where there is a handful of pure devotees. Oh yes, there are some pure devotees. No. This is a movement which is meant to be made of pure devotees. Everyone. Everyone for himself has that challenge. Everyone for himself has that duty. Everyone for himself has that goal. It's not that. And you can't say, I'm too old. You can't say, I'm too young. That's an excuse. I have a cartoon for you, if that's your excuse. First picture, there's a baby. Too young, it says under the picture. Next picture, there's a couple, hand in hand, full moon behind them. Too much in love. Next couple, the next picture is a couple, now they're married and they both have six arms. She's carrying a shopping bag and a vacuum cleaner and and two kids on the arms and this and that. And he's got a Black and Decker drill, a computer, a briefcase, and all these things. Too busy, right? Then there's a next picture, and it shows an old man. And he's got a horn on his ear. He's totally deaf, you know, too old. And the last picture, it's a cross on a grave. And it says, too late. So at every stage we have an excuse. At every stage we have an excuse why we are not pure devotees. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too skinny. I'm too tall. I'm too short. What am I? I'm something. It's a good reason not to be a pure devotee. So an endless list of excuses, but this is our meditation as we're approaching Radhastami. Not only is it a wonderful day filled with transcendental entertainment. Oh, we'll all go to Radharadana temple and Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj is flying in and he will tell all the Radharani stories and he's the best. Nobody can do it like him. Oh, another Radhastami, ecstasy, 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 like our Radhastamis, you know, in Durban. I tell you, they are Radhastamis, like you don't have Radhastamis like that everywhere else, you know what I mean? Our Radhastamis are special, 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 because we have Radharadana. Hey, there you go. Ho, ho, ho. Yes, yes, yes. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, Radhastami, Radhastami, how I love you, how I love you, how I love you. And favorite, one of my favorite festivals. Oh, love Radhastami every year, just love it. Very nice. But Radhastami is not a day of transcendental entertainment. Radhastami is not a day of show, of theater, and where the swamis come in and just do it again. Wow, amazing, somersault on the Vyasasara, and just quoting slokas all the way while they were spinning. Amazing, amazing, amazing. Telling stories while standing on one finger upside down. It was just out of this world. And then he started levitating. Wow, it was something else. So, well, that's not the purpose. The purpose is that we collectively approach Radhastami, each one with the best of intentions, that we're going to try now, going to really try to come to that level of pure devotion. Oh yes, it cannot be done in a moment, but let us put some things in place. If you want to make progress, you have to put some things in place that lead towards that progress. It's not about taking a step towards progress. No, it means first put the right things in place And then you can go forward. First, make adjustments in life. So that's the first thing. Make adjustments in life. Put some of the right things in place to become a pure devotee. That's why I thought I'd start a few days before Radhastami, so that we have a few days to think about it. Like, I mean, geez, you know, I've got to put some right things in place. And what kind of right things you put in place? No idea. I mean, what do you do? Ask somebody. Ask a Vaishnava. Ask the Vaishnavas what to do. That's one answer. And then, when we put right things in place, then we can begin to progress. And then, when we go forward, never take a step backward. That's fall down. Every step forward is maintain it. Whatever we do in spiritual life, when we increase, maintain it. In this way, little by little, we go up. We go up in progress towards pure devotional service. And that is our meditation on this upcoming day of Radhastami, to somehow or other become pure devotees. According to our capacity, not that we have the capacity to become like Srimati Radharani. She is obviously a greater devotee than we are, even in the spiritual world. Even when we reach our full potential, we cannot come close to her level of pure devotion. But let us take responsibility to do the best we can in our own way, because that's what this movement is for. This movement is meant for that, to do the best we can. We can wear t-shirts, you know, and just with that slogan, to do the best we can. That's our life. That's all. And if only we can do the best we can. Yeah. Reach our potential. Then that is the meaning of our life. That's the meaning of our existence. That's what we meant for. We took birth for that reason, to do the best we can. We are here in Pietermaritzburg, carefully placed by Krishna. Krishna was thinking, umming and eyeing, you know, thinking, what am I going to do with this soul? Maybe Durban. No. If I put him in Maritzburg, he'll stand out more. There are less. I'll put him in Maritzburg. There, you know? There he can really shine. Yes. This soul I put in Maritzburg. Yes. Here is an opportunity to shine, you see. In Durban, you're one of the crowd, you know? I mean, it's packed, you know? Really. I mean, it's just like so many people. This is just one huge mob. But here in Maritzburg, you stand out as an individual, and as such, you know, in full glory, you can shine. That's the idea. That's why we took birth here in Pietermaritzburg, to stand out and shine as pure devotees. Only for that reason, no other reason. You have to see. So that was Krishna's plan. But meanwhile, on the way, we developed some of our own plans. And we thought, well, let me build a nice place to live. Let me get comfy. Yes, I'll get comfortable. And, oh, well, we need to move around. Let's get a nice car. And let's get some nice facilities. And, geez, and, oh, boy, I mean, it's cost an arm and a leg. And that's going to take 50 years to pay for. And then life is gone. The other day, I was telling a story which I read in a book of C.S. Lewis, who is a very good writer, you know what I mean, a Christian writer, but brilliant writer, really good. And so I had a look in the book, and then he was telling a story how life, our life, is compared to a house. So your life is compared to a house. And he was saying that we live in that house, and naturally, you know, it's we know the house. It has its problems. It has its problems. There are some leaks here and there, and some issues. And God, God is there, and he's fixing the house. And yes, he is like doing all the things, you know, that we thought needed to be done, the obvious things. You know, he fixes this leak, he fixes, you know, that light that doesn't work, and so on. So he's fixing our faults, the faults in our life. But as of late, you know, as of late, I mean, God is no longer just fixing things. Krishna is no longer just fixing things that need to be fixed. I mean, as of late, what on earth is he doing? He's breaking things left and right. No, really, he's breaking the whole house. What's going on? What's he doing? Ah, we thought that the Lord was going to fix the house so that we could just reside in there comfortably, make for us a nice comfortable cottage. But no, he is breaking the house, he is building wings, he is extending it, because he's making it into a palace, and he plans to live in there himself. That's actually what's going on. So Krishna has a purpose with our life. And that purpose is to become pure devotees of the Lord. That's Krishna's purpose for our life. We may have other purposes, but Krishna's purpose is that. And it says that a devotee should have no other interest than the interest of the Lord. That's what it's mentioned. So in this way we can, that's Radhastami. So it's a time, it's an introspective time. It's a time when we really bring it back to ourselves, and we just stand there next to that pure devotion of Srimati Radharani. It's just inconceivable. Inconceivable. I mean, it's just inconceivable how dedicated she is. So, well, with that, I hope that I have set the theme for the coming days, and I hope that you find that useful. I hope that it will make your Radhastami a little better, that you get some more mileage out of your Radhastami from this talk. That was the idea, and I will now look at your question. Please tell us about the transcendental potency of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Thank you. Nara Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Raza Vigraha Purna Sudha Nitya Mukta Abhinatva Nami Nami Nam. That name is Chintamani Nam. It is transcendental touchstone. Purna Sudha Nitya Mukta. It is perfect. It is complete. It can give us eternal liberation. Because it is abhinatvam nami namino, it is non-different from Krishna himself, and Krishna is unlimited. Therefore, the benefit of the name is amazing. What can we say? We were talking about that in Sweden one time with Krishna, Smita Krishna Swami, and I use that sometimes when he was saying that the Hari Prabhupada said that when the Hari Nam party goes to the street, all the people in the street become purified. He said, but that's not all. The street also becomes purified, because the street itself changes after the holy name has gone through it. That's the potency of the holy name. Whatever gets touched by the holy name changes. The place changes. So if you chant Hare Krishna in your car changes. In your home,
That day when at home the chanting of the holy name is manifest, then the spiritual world will be present there. So all these things are there. What can we say? When it comes to the transcendental potency of the holy name, there is no limit.
Please share with us the secrets of cooperation, tolerance amongst us devotees and aspiring devotees. Thank you.
The secret of cooperation is unity in diversity. Cooperation, unity in diversity means we are all different. And with our different natures, our different talents, and our different abilities, we're all making a contribution. And then, we all work for the same goal, for Krishna and Prabhupada, the representative of Krishna. So, and then, according to our own ways, one will sing, one will dance, one will cook, one will decorate, one will clean, whatever. Yeah, sometimes we may help each other also. The singer may also help cleaning. You know, the cook may also dance, and the dancer may also cook. Why not dance in the kitchen? Yeah. Yes. Who said you can't dance in the kitchen? Is it forbidden? No. So, in this way, you know, in another pakora. Yeah. Cook it up. Yeah. And anyone who eats those pakoras for the most don't know what it is, but these pakoras just feel like dancing. Because the consciousness of the cook is manifest in the prasad. So, in this way, cooperation, it takes a leader. It takes a leader to inspire cooperation. Without a leader, we can't cooperate. It's not possible. It's the leader that brings it together. That's what the leader is meant to do. He's meant to create an atmosphere where everyone fits. No one feels that he doesn't fit. Everyone feels, I really fit in this program. It's not that the leader says, and so, we are here today, and I have a message for you. And we're all going to cooperate. And everyone's going to cooperate with me, because I'm the boss. And I have made a full plan and a full list of what everyone has to do. And, you know, and this time, you know, I want full cooperation and on everyone to do what they're supposed to do. You got it? Okay. Is there anyone who dares to disagree or take severe disciplinary actions? That will not go very far, that kind of leadership. Leadership means that we recognize the qualities of people and engage these qualities in the service of Krishna and then bring it all together in one offering, and all these different aspects complement each other, and the leader is expertly bringing all these people together in one effort. Just like here in Maritzburg, you have one temple, right? And there you can all put your effort in that one temple, but in your own way. In your own, using your own abilities, and the leaders can guide these things like that. Then cooperation will work. But without leadership, there's no cooperation. Just like every devotee in this movement has a relationship with Srila Prabhupada, right? Because he's our founder, Acharya, and basically, he told us 16 rounds, nobody else. He told us four regulative principles, nobody else. He told us that bhakti means devotional service. He told us what songs to sing. He told us so many things. So everyone feels that relationship. And not only do we all feel that relationship, The reason why we're still part of this movement, the reason why we didn't go yet, is because of Prabhupada. And there may be other reasons, maybe also our spiritual master. But Prabhupada keeps us all here. It's for Prabhupada that we... maybe there are many other reasons why we stay, you know, because I've got my friends. Yes, that's true. But simply because Prabhupada was there, such an amazing devotee, such an amazing example, such an humble, amazing, pure devotee. Therefore, we cooperate, because there's a leader who inspires us by his example. Then we cooperate. Then we make a sacrifice. Okay, I'll cooperate. I'll cooperate then. Yeah. I hate it, but for Prabhupada, what can I do? I have to cooperate. So even the nerds start cooperating. Right? Everybody cooperates for Prabhupada. And that's how this movement became a movement. Otherwise, we would not be a movement. We would have splintered up long ago. We would have split. You know that joke about the man who was stranded on an island somewhere all by himself, in the a Jewish man on an island, and he was alone there for a long time. So then many years went by, and finally a ship came to that island, and when they came on the island, he was there all by himself, and there were two synagogues he had built himself, two synagogues. So I said, like, you were here all by yourself, why did you build two synagogues? He says, that's very simple. He said, this is our synagogue, and that other synagogue, that's the one we don't talk with them. For Prabhupada, we can do it. We can stay together for Prabhupada. So it takes a leader to get to bring about cooperation. That's the key. All right, two more questions, and then I'm going to escape with your permission, because tomorrow I have an early flight going towards Johannesburg. We have Soweto Ratiyatra coming up and things. And what to do, that's something I have to do. How can I restore my determination to chant Hare Krishna, which has been weathered down by a restless mind, and absorption seems far away? Well, I think you can meditate on Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayer, Kalyana Kalpataru. He says, my spiritual master gave me this transcendental gift. He gave me an auspicious desire tree. But due to my restless mind, I have not properly taken care of this desire tree. Now, as a result, the tree has become depleted, and it begins to look run down. But still, it's glorious. But by going into the association of the Vaishnavas, they are the caretakers of this tree. And in their association, they can restore that tree to its original glory. So that's your answer. I mean, it fits verbatim to your question, I think. You know, like, I mean, it's just a poetic way of writing exactly the same what you wrote. That's why it came to my mind. Kalyana Kalpataru. You can Google it, right? You can Google anything nowadays. So why not Google Kalyana Kalpataru? Kalyana Kalpataru. If you can't remember, there must be somebody here with a good memory. Kalyana Kalpataru. Kalyana
Kalpatar. Okay, I'm going to check at the end before if somebody still remembers. Radharani is the guru of the liberated devotees and Balaram the guru of the rest. How then can we approach Srimati Radharani? Srila Bhakti, it was your statement is almost right, but you're quoting actually Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but he didn't say Balaram. And what he actually said, he said Radharani is the guru of the liberated devotees who are in Madhurya Ras. And then he said, for all others, Lord Nityananda acts as the guru. Not Balaram, he said Lord Nityananda. Okay. So, then how can we approach Srimati Radharani? Well, when we say the guru, a guru becomes our exclusive source of inspiration. So we're not going to make Srimati Radharani the exclusive source of our inspiration. And day and night just walk around Radhe, 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 Radhe. No, we are not qualified for that. For that we need to focus. For that we need to focus on the representative of Lord Nityananda. And that we are doing. So for our day-to-day guidance, we turn to the representative of Lord Nityananda. But that doesn't mean that we ignore Srimati Radharani.
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that, you know, I mean, he said it. He said Radharani is the guru of the liberated devotees in Madhurya Ras.
Are you liberated?
Quick.
Are you liberated?
Okay. Are you in Madhurya Ras?
No.
Okay. Then forget Radhastami, okay? You know, sorry. You know, for you, no Radhastami. You have to wait till Nityananda's appearance day.
That's it. No, that's not the purport to the statement of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When you speak about the guru, you mean the person who becomes the principal person who is inspiring you in your life, your guide who is with you at every moment. Right? That's not for us, Srimati Radharani. That is for us, our spiritual master, who is the representative of Lord Nityananda. But sometimes we pray to Srimati Radharani, and especially on Radhastami, as I already explained, because that day is just filled with compassion. So don't miss out. Even if you have to work on Radhastami, misery. But pray at work. Put a screensaver, bring a picture with you on your desk somehow or other, make an offering in your lunch break, do something extraordinary to get the mercy on Radhastami. And in the evening, join the devotees and celebrate.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
One last question.
Okay.
Please, I'm so sorry. It seems the leadership, you notice the bottom end of your page has been perforated. I think it's a very embarrassing question. I've been really excited that you come from Amsterdam. You run.
I don't come from Amsterdam.
Do you formerly live from? Are you formerly?
No, I'm from Heemstede.
Where is that exactly?
That is 25 kilometers outside of Amsterdam. It's a lot nicer.
I see. One of the questions that I had asked, and it was a bit uncomfortable for the devotees perhaps, I'm working in a very radical area of the law in our country. Our country is rather violent.
Violent?
Yes, and we have certain laws that need to be changed, you know. They were supposed to have been changed a long time ago. And
sure.
It relates to sex work and cannabis, which are two laws in your country that are looking to be regulated or decriminalized.
My country.
Well, you know what you want to call it, but
I'm from Vrindavan, brother.
Very good.
I mean, in my last life, I was from the Netherlands, which is the lowest place on the planet. But then I got the grace of coming into Vrindavan. And there I got the mercy of Prabhupada and I got a spiritual birth. And then I took sannyas. And it says, once you take sannyas, you're dead. You're socially dead. So I'm dead, actually. That life is gone. I'm dead. Therefore, traditionally, you would never ask a sannyasi about his previous life. And if you did, then it was in Sanskrit known as purva janma, previous life. So, but in the world, there are all these things going on, right? Intoxication, gambling, meat eating, illicit sex, the sinful activities of Kali. And whether the legislation is liberal or whether the legislation is clamping down on such things, legislation doesn't work. Even the lawmakers themselves are corrupt. Yeah. Corruption exists everywhere. It exists in the individual. Therefore, the approach of trying to change the world through legislation is something, it's cumbersome, it's difficult, it may temporarily work for a while, but it's like trying to straighten a dog's tail. You know what I mean? It will be straight for a while and then it goes back again. Now this is the problem with legislation. You have to come back life after life, reincarnate again and again to fix it again and again, because it's never fixed. So, better than legislation is really the chanting of Hare Krishna. If we want to get rid of these things in the world, whether it's the Netherlands or whether it is South Africa, if we want to get rid of these sinful activities, or whether it's in Cincinnati, that wherever it's going on, the chanting of Hare Krishna is the solution. And that is the best approach. Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Katyanja. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way.
I will take the boat of the good name to the other side.
Thank you. What's your name?
Kribasha.
Nice to meet you. I appreciated that you were ready to speak out in public, and you know, lots of people are shy, and it's nice if someone has that openness to just.
It may be part of my leadership, but it's very scary when you are talking about matters that other people do not understand or understand little about.
Yeah.
You're very isolated.
But it's very difficult to become a leader, and there's a lot of work to do, because ultimately, purity is the force. You know, it's purity that's the force that will make us successful. So, and that's why Prabhupada is the leader of all of us. Prabhupada is the leader for many reasons. He was very intelligent. Prabhupada was also, he was such an example. He was such an authority, and yet at the same time he was so human, and so close to people. But above all, he was a pure devotee. So real leadership begins there, because real leadership must be spiritual leadership. Otherwise, the world is full of leaders. Andeyatandrupaniyamana, the blind are leading the blind, says Bhagavan. Like that. To be a leader, phew. I'm working. I can only say, in my case, work in progress. Trying to become tough. Boy, 62. Hair's a grown gray. But, you know, shave them off or wear a hat. not easy. Be a leader. But by the mercy of the pure devotee, everything is possible. bowing down, by bowing down at the feet of the pure devotee, by becoming a servant, by becoming an instrument in total humility, and say, what order do you have for me? And that order will be the jewel that I carry on my head. That, only that attitude can make us a leader. I'm thinking about it, trying, hope to become like that one day. I have to escape because tomorrow I am